Welcome to Tech Chicklets. This is our first podcast. Kim and I are getting together to talk tech, and we're a couple of chicklets. So we're here to talk about how technology intersects with your life to make it richer, easier, and more fun. So let's get started. On today's show, you are joined by Kim from You Can't Diaper Their Faces, and by myself, Liz from Three Bright Stars. And today we are going to talk a little bit about some tech news that's been going on recently, and as well, just a give an introduction about ourselves and just sort of give you an idea of why we think that you should be listening to us on tech at all. And partly maybe just because we're going to be entertaining to listen to. And
you're lots of fun.
and also hopefully we can get into talking about free blogging platforms. So I thought to get started, since this is our very first podcast, that we should first introduce ourselves and just sort of give you an idea where we come from, what our background is, how we know each other, and sort of where we are in life. So Kim, why don't you fill us in?
Okay.
Who are you?
So I'm Kim. I blog under the name EcoMum on YouCan'tDiaperTheirFaces.com. I live abroad in Turkey with two children and one spouse, and my blog just documents our life as expats and our life together as a little family. And that's what I do online.
And I am Liz, and I do my blogging on threebrightstars.com. And I'm a Canadian. Have been British. I'm sort of British Canadian, and I blog also. I'm a mom blogger, and I just sort of try to also blog about other things that people who aren't moms might be interested in. But to be honest, it often comes back to just blogging about what is consuming my daily existence, which is my children and housework and stuff like that. So that's partly why doing this podcast, to try to branch into tech stuff. But let's tell the people how we know each other and
right. Okay.
Because, so, you know, we yeah. sort of have known each other for a long time. You go.
Liz and I met each other 13 years ago? Yeah. Wow.
That's dating it, but okay.
13 years ago on our mutual first day of university. And when we discovered that we had, though not knowing each other, signed up for all the same classes.
Yeah.
Which was completely bizarre. I don't think that ever happened to me ever again, even once I did know people and want to take classes with them specifically.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. We sort of discovered that we're like the same person.
Yeah. Ages ago.
Yeah. And then I didn't end up taking Dawn's class, English 101, Introductory English, right at the very start. I remember I had somebody else, and he did not strike the right chord with me, so
yeah.
I ditched him and ended up in Dawn's class, and you have subsequently...
married him!
Yes.
But we were not involved at the time. I have to tell everyone when they find out our history. Liz is the only one who knows me and knows him from that time.
Yeah, I know.
She can vouch for me.
I can, but I won't. Yeah, we'll have to keep some things mysterious, Kim. Some things have to be a mystery. Okay, so we're both interested in English.
Yes.
Right, and the arts and stuff, and we got interested in tech through our blogs.
Yes.
That's us. Maybe what we should do now is just sort of talk a little bit more about our blogs and just kind of explain kind of what we were thinking when we started our blogs and certain elements that we put into our blogs, why we did all that. Shall I go first?
That's a great idea, Liz.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay, I will go first. Okay, so I came up with threebrightstars.com first as a blogger blog, just a free blog. Really just because I had just had Daniel and he was a year old and I was just starting to sort of get a sense of some free time and just sort of recovering some sleep. And so I was getting a little bit of energy, but I still didn't have near the amount of time or energy that I needed to do anything actually productive in my life.
Blogging is productive.
Okay. We will tell ourselves that over and over again. That's my daily affirmation as well. So anyway, I just started sort of doing some of that really just as an activity to keep my brain working. And it really wasn't even so much about the writing at that point as just about learning how to blog, learning like what hosting was, and just learning the whole blogging system and what was out there in tech, and also trying to sort of develop some sense of a social life, even if it was just online, because mm-hmm. I was definitely feeling that isolation of really not having any friendships, you know, outside of the home, and not really being able to develop any anyway because of dealing with the kids and or dealing with just the one kid was hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically that was my motivation. So that was when I started, which was just a couple years ago now, and why I started it. The title, Three Bright Stars, is just kind of a playful title from my life. When I was younger, when I was quite young, I always think it must have been, all my memories seem to come from when I was about 12 or so, I guess, between like maybe 8 and 12. And I came up with this joke. It just made me giddy, and it's not funny at all. But I just got myself into a giggle fit, and it was just about looking up at the stars at Orion, right, the Orion belt,
mm-hmm.
and just saying three bright stars and counting them. And then I don't know why I needed to emphasize it, but I just would draw a line through them and three bright stars. It made me hysterically, you know, laugh. So I don't know why. Yeah, right.
That's not hysterical laughter for me.
Yeah.
That's amused laughter.
Well, okay. I was definitely, nobody else thought it was funny at all, but that just made me laugh harder. But I guess as I'm older and sort of more thinking about it, maybe it is kind of neat playing tic-tac-toe with the stars. That's I justify it to myself. That I'm still calling myself Three Bright Stars and I'm over 30 now. Anyways, so that's the title. And what am I passionate about blogging about? I am passionate about blogging about kind of just quirky everyday life things. Like, I don't often nowadays seem to have time to, you know, do the kind of writing that I would like to do. But when I do, I like to just sort of write about like stuff that's not really true or real.
Excellent.
There you go. Okay, floor is yours.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow.
Is that okay?
That's fine. I was expecting some more story there. So, my blog. My motivation for mm-hmm. coming up with it. Right. So, like Liz, I started my blog early in my parenting career, when I found myself very isolated in Turkey, without really any real world friends anywhere near me. I did have friends, they just didn't live near me, and no sense of an online community either, except that I had this one friend in Toronto who started a blog, and I thought it was really cool, and I had a terrible tendency to copy everything she did anyways. So I thought like, oh, Rue has a blog, I'm gonna have a blog too. So I came up with this blog, which was then entitled very dully Progress of the Kidlet, and all it was a document of my days with my daughter, who was then called Kidlet, now called Eco Kid, and it later became the trials and tribulations of the Kidlet. Also, not a really very exciting blog title. And then my son was born, and it became The Trials and Tribulations of Kidlet and Little Fart, which my family objected strongly to. My grandmother actually issued threats over calling my over my calling my son Little Fart. So all this time it was basically just a blog that I put together to keep my family in Canada and the UK updated on my life in Turkey and the life of my kids in Turkey. And like Liz, it just gave me a small creative outlet and allowed me to feel some small sense of community. And with time it grew. I did more things, learned more about the tech behind it, which was really interesting to me. Played around a lot with templates and code and stuff to make it look better. And I actually wrote quite a lot back then, but it was crap. Abundant writing, that was total trash. Then I found myself on holiday in Germany with a very sick daughter and a heavily pregnant me. And said daughter, kidlet, eco kid, kept throwing up all the time. And I complained to my friend and said that, sorry, I was visiting a friend in Germany. And I said that, you know, like, it's really so much easier when a child has diarrhea because you can just slap a diaper on their bum, but you can't diaper their faces.
And there we go.
And that's how the blog title came to be. I needed a new one. And she said, you need to change your blog title.
Awesome.
So I did.
I do think it's the kind of title where when it comes up on the search, I think that it's impossible for people not to click on that. I think when they see that, it's the clickable title, right? Three Bright Stars is a little confusing. You can't diaper their faces is just, it just draws you, I think. Okay. Do you want to maybe just seg into talking a little bit about a couple of the news items that have been floating around?
Let's move on to tech news.
Tech news.
I feel like we should have some background music.
We will. Husband is going to, I'm going to still call him husband.
Okay.
So that his identity is, his innocence will be protected for this podcast, purposes of the podcast. Yeah. So husband, capital H husband, is going to use some of his tech, which is music type tech, is going to fill in with something I've asked for it to be pink and sparkly. I hope you don't object.
Pink and sparkly news. Is that okay? I like it. I had WKRP in my mind.
Yeah.
But I also had my hands waving around.
Okay, but twinkling. We are the tech chicklets.
Yeah. It so does need to be pink and sparkly.
It has to have
absolutely
ponytails. Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So okay. Cue the pink sparkly music,
pink sparkly
husband.
News. Let's go. Okay, so let's get started with news items. Let's get started first off with Baby Shaker, the iPhone app that Apple approved, and after like instant, I guess, complaints from a lot of people and groups, groups that spoke out against it, they've removed it. So Baby Shaker, it was a crazy little nothing app that just had like black and white drawing of a baby on it, and it would just cry, and then the whole object of the game was just to shake it until it stopped crying and had an illustration of it that it was dead. What are your thoughts, Kim?
I never saw this application, but I'm horrified. Mm-hmm. I have kids and I don't like to shake them a lot. Just a bit, really. excessive shaking should not be condoned.
No. I think it's just such a crazy thing. It's a little bit, I guess, that if you were a gamer, then you might be trying to think how similar it maybe is to, like, shooting games. Like, shoot 'em up types of, first-person war games.
Right.
Or whatever, where they can be extremely gruesome and people are having their heads cut off and blood spewing everywhere. And I guess maybe it has like a parental warning on it that this is for mature, people and not for teenagers. But, I was trying to think about it and I did have that gut reaction as well, that it's horrifying. And then I was trying to think, well, what is the justification? And I just don't think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, war is an accepted part of our contemporary life, right? I mean, I'm not a war supporter, but it's there, you know, there's wars happening. There's war happening in the country right next to the one in which I live. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people play war games, but child abuse and child killing is not accepted by anyone that I know of. I don't think even the people who've done that stuff think what they've done is okay.
Yeah, it's just not funny.
No.
And I don't see how it can be fun. And actually, I do have a little little quote up here that, because I also obviously did not have the app or anything, but I actually caught up with this news item on Twitter, where I guess it was one of these hot topics that a lot of people were talking about, and so I came to this article, and there's a quote. This is the description. This is how the app is trying to justify itself or trying to advertise itself to its audience. And it's saying, on a plane, on the bus, in a theater, babies are everywhere. You don't want them to be. They're always distracting you from preparing for that big presentation at work with their incessant crying. Before Baby Shaker, there was nothing you could do about it. It's nasty.
It is really nasty. It's implying that you want to shake other people's babies whose, you know, intrusions on your life are minimal. I mean, really. Before I had kids, I was definitely one of those people who glared at babies that got on the airplane because I thought, like, really, 9 hours of your baby crying? I don't want to put up with it. But that was 9 hours out of my life, you know? It's not so much.
Yeah.
I don't need a game that simulates me killing that baby to get over the fact that I wasn't really fond of listening to somebody else's baby cry a bit.
Yeah, I definitely do see that people who don't have babies, you know, might have this frustration where they might allow themselves, just because they're so self-involved, they might allow themselves to sort of indulge in this because they just get so irritated. I actually just had an interaction. You might have seen my little Twitter tweets about this. One of the people that I was following just made like some really nasty exclamation that had some curse words in it, which wasn't so much to me as the content, which was that he was in a coffee shop and there was a baby crying, and so he was sort of, you know, cursing at mother, saying keep your effing kids away, something to that extent. And at that time I was doing a cull of all my followers, and I so, because I was...
Guess who got tossed.
Yeah. But I actually communicated with him, and I said, wow, I think I have to cut you now, you know, because of that. And I guess he got much harsher criticism, but his response to that was, he was defending himself. Of course, maybe he was embarrassed, but he was really defending himself, saying, well, you shouldn't have your babies in the coffee shops. And it just, like, really emphasized to me that before you have kids, you have a certain mindset, or possibly people have a certain mindset. And after you have kids, it's just a completely different worldview, I think.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing too, because as I said earlier, I live in Turkey, but I'm a Westerner in Turkey. And Turks, men and women of like all ages and all classes, love kids. And it's a totally different experience to walk into a coffee shop in Turkey where, like, Starbucks, it's quite likely that the guys behind the counter will sweep up and steal your children from you and play with them the whole time that you're there. Rather, like, nobody ever glares when you walk into any institution in Turkey with mm-hmm. a child. People are thrilled, airplanes included.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different experience. It seems to be a Western thing, it's very Canadian, American, British, to think that children don't belong in the public sphere.
Yeah, and I do think it's a problem. It's a cultural problem, because mm-hmm. there's got to be a denial of what, as mothers, we realize is really very important, which is, you know, raising kids, and, you know, raising kids that will eventually become adults. And mm-hmm. it is obviously an integral part of our, has to be an integral part of our culture, because it's an integral part of our civilization and our continuity. And so how could it not be like very, very important, and very important to be able to deal with kids and as they're crying and having problems, and mothers are struggling to, you know, deal with them in their everyday lives. I think it's just this iPhone app is a is a real sign.
Yeah, it's a symptom of a culture that's got a sickness when it comes to children.
Yeah. So bad apple. They did not review this properly.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And naughty they should apple. Be hanging their heads in shame over mm-hmm. this one.
I agree. And I would not normally be somebody who would say something like that so strongly. And I just think...
I'm opinionated, I would.
Well, I think
but
boo.
Liz wouldn't.
I think no. No, this one, boo. Boo on apple.
Mm-hmm.
Smarten up apple. If it's involving hurting babies or hurting kids.
Or animals. Yeah, really,
just
like
add an extra level. An extra level of review couldn't hurt your business.
Yes.
Just add it in there just to be sure that you're not shaking babies and killing them for fun.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Boo. Okay.
Next up, let's talk about GeoCities, which is the Yahoo hosting, a web hosting that's been around for, oh my goodness, over, it must be about 12 or 13 years now.
Since, as long as we've known each
yes,
other.
Yes, that's right. GeoCities started up, we should have started our own GeoCities site back in the day, but we didn't because we didn't have a clue back then.
No, I had a computer. I was even online, yeah. But I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, I did not have a computer or a clue. So there you go. Actually, I think I did have a computer because I was writing essays on it. I don't think I was on the internet, though, very much. Anyway, so GeoCities, the Apple hosting service, has just now decided that it is closing its doors. It's no longer accepting new accounts for people, and it's going to ultimately likely be closing. And I think that people are worried about losing their sites and losing their data and stuff. So there's going to be a bit of a scramble for people to be getting their stuff off and moving it somewhere else. So this is kind of like just an interesting moment in time where some of the first possible, you know, places where people could represent themselves and have websites online is now going away. And it had like an interesting structure to it, because GeoCities would have, at least in the beginning, associated the themes of certain sites, such as like if a bunch of websites were about tech, then they would be associated with a certain geographical location, such as Silicon Valley. And so there was that kind of association between themes of websites and geographical locations. I guess, like, first of all, like, what do you think, Kim, about just GeoCities being finishing up? And do you have any thoughts on that in general?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to think about what that means, because I'm not aware of other major sections of the internet having just closed down. So it does pose questions about, you know, archiving of the internet and these sorts of things. And it makes one wonder about, you know, the prolonged stability of certain hosting services. But yeah, I think the geographical linking issue is definitely really cool to think about.
Let's just go back to the archiving and sort of the archiving that stuff that you were talking about, because that is interesting, that there could be like a whole cultural aspect of the internet, which really is at least noteworthy, if not like all that important. Maybe it's, right. It's at least noteworthy that this GeoCities existed, and there must have been a lot, like I wasn't sort of around or involved in it, but there must be a lot of interesting things there, interesting people or interesting websites, lots of maybe information there that shouldn't right. be lost, or at least like things that happened, even occurrences that took place that were sort of noteworthy at the time. And hopefully there are people who, if there are important things there or important things to remember, that are now being, you know, being collected and moved, you know, onto, you know, somewhere where they are safe.
Mm-hmm. But how do we decide which stuff is important? I mean, surely the people who believe what they've got posted is important are going to ensure that their data is recorded elsewhere and not just lost to obscurity. But what about people who haven't updated stuff? you know, sites that they've created, or, you know, the people who aren't with us anymore who might have had sites, their information may not be preserved. And it's not like when somebody leaves a book behind and then they pass away. What happens to all of our electronic information when a new phase comes?
In fact, it's almost like we're talking about a death, because it's like an aging part of the internet is now sort of falling away. And if a person, for example, who's dying hasn't sort of written down or published or, you know, all of the things that are important to them, and maybe they just all get thrown away, like if they've got photographs or whatever, right. And it's not properly properly labeled, and then it just all gets lost. It really does just all die and get lost.
Yeah, it's a new version of death, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing to think about, and also kind of unnecessary. Although I suppose it must be expensive to maintain all of that data, because somebody has to maintain it,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be on a machine somewhere.
Yeah.
But it just seems like it may be worth something for somebody to just swoop in and just take a hard copy of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and just because, like, it could be of interest even just 10 or 15 or 100 years from now,
mm-hmm.
for people to look back and say, here's GeoCities, here's what people were thinking. This is back when the internet was really just becoming popular for the public.
Yeah, it seems to me that retaining information about the early days of online culture is a really good idea.
Yeah.
So I really hope that somebody is bothering to save the information that isn't otherwise being retained through this death of GeoCities.
Yeah.
Which I can't access from Turkey. It's one of our banned domains. So I can't say a whole lot about it, because I haven't looked at any of the GeoCities sites, because I can't.
Yeah, that's maybe something we should talk about later, is accessibility from Turkey of various things. And
yeah,
that's interesting too. But just to get back to GeoCities, let's talk about the geographical association between the themes and the websites and, like, actual physical landmarks. What do you have any thoughts just off the top of your head?
Well, it's curious that our real world geography is being translated into, like, a pseudo geography on the internet, because there's no actual reason for that to happen. I mean, if we're creating a pseudo world, it doesn't need to be a mimicry of the existing world. In fact, what most people seem to want is an escape from the regular world, or at least an alternative to the world that we're in. So this duplication of existing geography is really, like, odd, I think.
Yeah, it is odd, but
confuses me a bit.
I would disagree with you there, though, and I would say that people are uncomfortable with the idea of going into this vast virtual world that, well, I guess just seems like a big open black void, you know, and you just kind of randomly are stumbling into people, and I think that people maybe do, or especially in the beginning, it was hard for them to conceive of, you know, how to relate to other people online without sort of being able to group and sort of anchor it to, you know, physical points, at least in their minds. And I kind of agree with that there seems to be what we do in the virtual world is real in our lives, even though it isn't real in a real place. And yet I am real in a real place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it kind of would make sense for me, for example, if my blog, you know, was sort of like on a pinpoint on a map, like that would make sense to me. Although I wouldn't necessarily want that, because I would maybe want to be anonymous and for people not to be able to track me down. But yet to myself, it makes sense that I am here, you know, like a little stamp, like on a map.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true that for me and my blog, I mean, my blog is very concerned about place, physical place in the real world, because I'm an expat. So, like, what's really real to me is being where I am, which is not where I'm from. And so the matter of location is important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you, I want a certain amount of anonymity,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to be able to be tracked or located really easily. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if somebody really set themselves to it, they could figure out where I was, though.
And so when you say that, then it kind of makes sense that there would be this weird map that is nowhere and yet is a mimicry of the real world, because people sort of want to be like, I am here, but where, you don't know exactly where.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of this shifty thing where you feel like you have to be placed somewhere specific, but you don't want to show where that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like just a neat concept that you can also see in that second life. That second life, you can tell I'm not
that
there, right?
Second life.
Yeah, how old I am already.
Instead of second life with pink sparkly music.
Yes, second life. I do have an account, I think, and I have sort of been, I have walked around in Second Life. It doesn't really make sense to me, though, because just because of that whole GeoCities concept of there being a real physical location and things are like called things and there's like continents and certain cities, and I just sort of think that's a whole bunch of hocus pocus, and it doesn't really like make sense to me in the way that like it's not that important to me. I don't know. I just don't connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously everyone else does.
Yeah, I only recently had a really brief look at it and I totally didn't get it at all.
Yeah, I think we have to try it, because being the tech chicklets, you know, if we're not in Second Life, like where are we? Who are we?
Really? Really? You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on everything else, right?
Yeah, and then we can have our perfect bodies, and we can wear bikinis.
Yes.
And we can dance and stuff, and there's all kinds of stuff you can do in Second Life that you can't do.
I can drink in Second Life, which I can't do because I breastfeed right now.
Oh, my goodness, you're not a drinker.
No.
Okay, next time.
I used to be.
No red wine. That's what I will, I'll make a note of that. Okay.
No. I do drink a little bit of wine, but I can be a hardcore drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, in Second Life.
But no, I really should make a more concerted effort to look at Second Life, because it does have such amazing popular appeal.
And it seems like people are using it for practical purposes, such as you were talking about.
Yeah, my neighbors in Turkey, who are also expats, use Second Life to teach English as a second language. To teach English as a second language. Mm-hmm. They teach a program for teaching English as a second language.
So they have a classroom. And
they have a physical classroom, mm-hmm. which they frequently abandon in favor of the virtual classroom.
And the virtual classroom, people have to get their avatars in the room at a certain time, am I right?
Yep.
Something like that?
Something like
which
that.
Which is just a funny thing to say, like, get your avatar in the room.
Yeah, and this is in a university setting that this is happening. So I really, really should look at it.
Yeah. I know that there's a lot to it, and we should look into it, but
then we won't sound like total goofs when we're talking on the webcast that about that Second Life.
Oh, I think it's kind of funny that we're moms and talking about tech stuff, you know, because we're pretty hip with the things, you know. Anyway, but yeah, GeoCities gone, and
But hopefully not lost.
Hopefully not forgotten. And it's a little bit sad and a little bit nostalgic for a lot of people, even for me, because I do remember, I guess back in the day, that it was talked about. It was a word that sort of came up and I was sort of curious about it. And I knew it was this raging fad going on somewhere. And I kind of completely missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, me too.
But now it's gone and I just feel a little bit like, oh, it's kind of like a the end of an era.
Yeah, we're never going to get to sail that particular river or ocean.
It's gone.
Gone.
Gone, baby, gone. Okay, the end.